Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. This is the way we praise you. Clap your hands. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I welcome you to the Woman to Wonder broadcast on today. It's a blessing to be with you on today. God is good and worthy to be praised. God is good and worthy to be praised. And I just want to thank everybody for tuning in, listening live, and listening to the archives. I've had, wow, well over 12,000 listens this year, and I'm excited about that. I am excited about so many people who are tuning in to the Women to Women broadcast. God truly is good and worthy to be praised. And my husband, my wonderful husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons, and Pastor, my wonderful, wonderful husband, I only have one husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons, and I thank you for your support. We thank you for listening. We thank you for your letters. We thank you for your emails. We thank you for your Facebook messages that let us know that you are listening. We're just so grateful and so just honored to have you come over on a weekly basis and listen to the Women to Women broadcast, the Women to Women show. God is good and worthy to be praised. So I want to make a couple of announcements, and then we'll go right into the broadcast for today. Tell somebody. Go and tell somebody that Pastor Rebecca Simmons is on the air with the Women to Women broadcast. Let them know that I'm broadcasting live on the air, and they can listen in now at blogtalkradio.com/power, blogtalkradio.com/power. So tell somebody now that they can tune in and listen. And today we're going to be talking about dealing with our issues. I do believe that the Lord is going to speak to us today about dealing with our issues. We have to get to the point where our issues are not holding us back from moving forward to have everything that God has for us to have. So we want to move everything out of the way so that we can move forward and be, do, and have all that God has created us to be, do, and have. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you and we magnify your name on today. You are worthy to be praised. Lord, there is none like you, and we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise just because of who you are. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the great plan that you have for our lives, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us a hope and a future. So we thank you, Lord, for our destiny, knowing truly that our destiny is great. And Lord, even as we talk today about dealing with our issues, I ask that you bless every listener, of whether they're listening live in the chat room or via archive, that you will bless each and every person that will come to this broadcast to be empowered, edified, encouraged, exhorted, educated. Whatever it is that they come for, Lord, let not one person leave here without receiving the word from you. So, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And I ask that you bless this broadcast and bless it indeed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Again, praise the Lord. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons. And I want to welcome Pastor Sherry Jones to the chat room. God bless you. And welcome to all of you who are on the phone lines. God bless you. Let me make a couple of announcements, and then we'll go right into our topic for today, which is dealing with our issues. I want to do a book endorsement. I want to make a book endorsement. As you know, 2 weeks ago, Minister Russell Blake was on the Women to Women show, and he was talking to us about relationships. He was talking to us about his book, Proverbs 31, Virtuous Black Woman. And if you missed that interview, you want to go back and listen to the archives, because this man, he just blew our minds. I mean, very rarely do we have a male guest other than Pastor Anthony Simmons, who's not a guest. He's a part of the broadcast, and we know he's powerful. But this man, Minister Russell Blake, gave a powerful, powerful impartation over the airwaves 2 weeks ago. He loves the black woman, I tell you. And the way that he talks, the way that he expounds upon his relationships with the black woman, the way that he ministered on 2 weeks ago, lets us know that he is the real deal. Amen. So many times you meet people that are perpetrating or faking the funk, but I tell you that Minister Russell Blake is the real deal, and his book is a true blessing. I received my autographed copy of his book last week, and as I was reading it, I was like, Pastor Anthony, I was like, honey, no, I didn't call him Pastor Anthony. I was like, honey, look, this guy has written a phenomenal book. And as I read through some of his entries, I was just in awe. I was like, it was like he was writing the book from his heart or from God's heart to mine. And I just felt so connected to the words that are written in this book. If you've ever felt invalidated or beaten down, if you've ever felt frustrated or hopeless, if you've ever felt like you were not beautiful and like God didn't have any value for your life, if you ever felt less than, more precious than rubies, then you have to read this book. And I would say, no matter what your nationality is, this book is a must read. It's The Virtuous Black Woman, Proverbs 31, The Virtuous Black Woman. And this man, this minister of God, wrote this book. He wrote about the true essence of the woman, and he wrote about the true essence of the woman in her relationship with God. And this book ministered to me, so I highly, highly recommend Proverbs 31, The Black Virtuous Woman. And this is volume one, because he's going to do The Virtuous Woman, and then he's going to do another volume. But I highly recommend that you read this minister, this brother's book, amen, because it is blessing me. This is something that you want to keep in your purse. And anytime you're feeling a little discouraged, or maybe you had a fight with your husband or your boyfriend, or maybe you're not feeling that pretty, you're having a bad hair day, or maybe you haven't had a chance to spend time with God in the Word, pull out this book, and this book will bless you, woman of God. Amen. So I highly endorse this book. And then I want to let you know that we are broadcasting on Tuesday nights. That's the Proverbs 31 Woman, for those who missed it. That's the book that I just endorsed by Minister Russell Blake. Powerful book. And then I want to let you know that we're ministering on Tuesday nights. Tuesday nights, I'm coming on the air for ministry purposes with the Destined for Victory broadcast. It's not a show. We call this the Woman to Woman show. But the Destined for Victory broadcast airs on Tuesday nights at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you missed last Tuesday, I've been on for 3 weeks. This was my third week this past Tuesday. But if you missed last Tuesday, I exhort you, I plead with you to go back and listen to last Tuesday's broadcast. Last Tuesday's broadcast was off the hook. As Pastor Anthony told Kayla, God got that off. He just, you know, we were watching a movie last night, and Kayla had selected the movie. And after we watched the movie, we were talking about how good the movie was. You got that off. And I was like, what is he talking about? I believe him. I said, Marcus said, my son, 19-year-old son, said, well, that's how we talk, Mom. And I said, I am so out of touch, because I didn't know what he was talking about. I don't even know the lingo anymore. I don't know. But because Kayla doesn't talk to me like that, and my husband doesn't talk to me like that, and he's around men all day, so he hears the lingo. But I was like, okay. But let me tell you, this broadcast on Tuesday night was phenomenal. Pastor Sherry Jones joined me on the call unexpectedly, but she was a pleasant surprise, and she added so much to the call. I mean, with her testimony, her expertise, her knowledge in this area, she just really, really blessed me and my listening audience with the input that she brought to the broadcast on Tuesday night. So the archives are there. You could go back and click on the archives, and there was a sister here with us who got some deliverance, and also My cousin called in from L.A., so it was a wonderful, powerful time. And listen, I'm giving information every Tuesday on how to prevent molestation. We want to stop it. No more trying to get healed from molestation, but let's get to the point where we stop molestation. Let's get to the point where our children and our neighbors' children, our relatives' children are not being touched or not being assaulted sexually, amen. So go on Tuesday night and listen. Even if you can't come on Tuesday, go back and listen to the archives, and you're going to be blessed by what you hear there on Tuesday night. So I want to encourage you, and that's blogtalkradio.com/power. I want to invite you to our church, New Creation Christian Ministries, the Kingdom Church. Visit our church. Listen, you don't have to dress up. You can wear jeans. You can wear, as long as you cover up, amen. You don't have to dress up. Come as you are. Just remember that you're coming to the house of the Lord, amen. We do things decently and in order, but whatever you have, if you don't have a dress, if you don't have a suit, then if you don't have shoes, listen, you can come in sneakers and jeans, and we'll be okay with that. We just want you to come as you are, and we guarantee you that you will not be the same. And that's New Creation Christian Ministries. We're at 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. Our service time is 11 o'clock a.m. on Sunday morning and also 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday nights. So just come. The word is going forth at that church. We call it the Kingdom Church, so we invite you to visit our church, and I am just blessed to be the pastor there. It's a great people. It's a loving environment. We will be having services on Christmas Day at 11 o'clock a.m. We will also be having services on New Year's Eve at 10 o'clock p.m. The doors open at 9:30 on New Year's Eve, and we will be bringing in the new year in church. And then we will be back on New Year's Day at 11 o'clock a.m. I don't know. We may push that to 12 noon, but I believe it will stay the same at 11. I have to check with my wonderful husband. So that's it for our announcements. Stay tuned for more announcements that will be coming forth. Mark your calendar for October the 8th. Our friend Lucius Williams, who went home to be with the Lord, his wife is carrying on the ministry at the bookstore. And just make sure that you stop over there at 1567 Maple Avenue in Hillside, New Jersey, to just be a blessing. Instead of going to the big bookstores, go on over to Crossroads of Life bookstore and visit with Minister Patricia Williams. And October 8th is the Celebrate Christian Store Week. So that's it. Let's go into dealing with our issues. I see the phone lines are lit up and the chat room is open for those of you who want to come into the chat room. But last week, we had a lively conversation about dealing with our issues. And this week, the Lord wanted me to bring some scripture. So I want to read from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. And I say hello to Kathy and Ray. God bless you. Hello to Erica Anderson. God bless you. I see Tina on the lines. I see Pastor Anthony. The other numbers I do not recognize. But thank you all for your listenership. Thank you for being here with me on Saturdays as I go forth to do this ministry that the Lord has given me to do. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 4. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Can you say every weight? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Somebody say and the sin, which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You know, and it's amazing because this morning as I was thinking about dealing with our issues, the Lord brought this scripture to my mind. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost who brings us into remembrance of all things. And the Lord brought this scripture to my mind where we're being exhorted to lay aside every weight. And this verse, this chapter 12 comes after chapter 11, which is the faith chapter, which talks about faith being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But here in chapter 12, the writer is continually encouraging us that not only do we just read this to be reading it, but we're reading this to see that these people have gone before us, and it was by faith that the elders obtained a good report. And it's only by faith that we will continue to obtain a good report, that we will continue to manifest God's blessings here on earth and God's will, God's plan for our lives, the abundant life, amen, right here on earth, amen. It's only by faith that we'll be able to do all that God has put in our hearts to do, by faith. And that's what the writer here is saying. But here it says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But before that, it says, put down every weight. Lay aside every weight. And that's what we're talking about, that weight, the burdens that so easily beset us. And that word for weight is oukos, O-G-K-O-S, which means that whatever is prominent, protuberance, bulk, mass, hence a burden, weight, encumbrance. That means that, you know what, some of us are just burdened down by some unnecessary issues. We're carrying the pain of our past. We're carrying baggage, spiritual junk in the trunk. And we need to just let some of that stuff go. We're carrying anger, unforgiveness, resentment, shame, guilt. We're carrying envy, jealousy, coveting, being covetousness, of somebody else, being covetous of somebody else and what somebody else has. And God is speaking to you on today. He's saying, you know what? In order for you to go where I have ordained for you to go, you got to lose some weight. And I'm not talking about physical weight, and maybe it is physical weight for some of us. You know, I have my hand raised. I can stand to back up from the table. But God is saying that we have to lose some weight. There's some things that are burdening, that are being a burden to us. There's some things that are holding you down, and God does not want you to take that with you any longer. Listen, you can't run the race while you're carrying the weight. You cannot run the race the way that you need to be running the race while you're carrying all of that extra weight. And some of us are carrying the weight of pride, selfishness. Some of us, you know, we're boasting on ourselves instead of looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Some of us are carrying the weight of our own ability, thinking that we can do what God has called us to do in our own flesh. And we all know that we can't do what God has called us to do in our own flesh. We know that without Jesus, we can do nothing that God has called us to do. It's only through the Spirit that we'll be able to exhort and encourage and edify and emancipate those that God will put in our path. Amen. But we got to start with ourselves. We have to start with ourselves. I need to lose this weight. I need to lose the weight of fear. Some of us are just scared to move forward and do what God has called us to do. Procrastination. You know God told you to do something a long time ago, and you still haven't done it. For some of us, it's writing a book. For some of us, it's cutting a CD. For some of us, it's going and asking for that raise on the job. For some of us, it's getting a new job. For some of us, it's starting that business. For some of us, it's a personal development. I need to be working on me. I need to be working on myself. And that's what I believe a lot of us have, this hang up, that we're so busy helping others that we forget to look and see that we have a boulder in our own eyes. We're looking at the splinter in our neighbor's eyes, but we have to look at ourselves and do some introspection and do some fruit inspection in our own lives and say, what is it about me that needs to be improved? What is it that needs to be put under the blood? Some of us just got to put some stuff under the blood. Amen, because it's the blood. And that's what this scripture is talking about, that Christ, he endured the cross. He shed his blood so that you would not have to carry the weight. There's an anointing that destroys every yoke, and that anointing is in the blood, is in the blood of Jesus. Amen. So we have to know that we have to lay aside the weight and the sin. Let's not forget the sin, because some of us, we just have too much sin in our lives. You know, we know to do right, but we continually do wrong. And God is saying, enough, enough, peace be still, enough. You know, just stop letting your flesh have its way and repent and submit yourself under his mighty hand. God is saying, enough, enough. And, you know, I love this particular scripture, because in verse 2 it says, looking unto Jesus. That means we got to keep our eyes stayed on Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And then it says, you know, remember that he endured the cross, despising his shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And we know that he's interceding for us. And it says here in verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your mind, lest you get tired and give up in your mind. See, the battle is in your mind. It's in your mind. The battle is in your mind. The devil, if he can get you to get weary, if he could get you to grow weary and well-doing, he can get you to give up. And God says, no, keep your mind stayed on Jesus so that you don't quit, so that you don't give up, so that you don't throw in the towel. It's not over until God says it's over. And you know what? It's not going to be over until you get the victory. Amen. So we have to give it all to God. And then, you know, when I was looking at this, as I went further, God gave me Proverbs 4, where Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, we have issues, they start in our heart. You know, somebody hurt you, somebody broke your heart, somebody that you love disappointed you, somebody betrayed you. You know, that's why the Bible tells us to guard our hearts. You can't let everybody in. You know, as much as I love people, I have come to realize that everybody does not have the plan of God in mind for me. And that's what you and I have to realize. We can't, listen, you can't walk this walk led by your emotions. Let me say that again. You cannot walk this walk led by your emotions, because your emotions will have you open up to people that you don't need to open up to. Your emotions will have you hurting because your enemy stabbed you in the back. Your emotions will have you all messed up because somebody doesn't like you or because somebody's not supporting you. We need to, as a preacher once told me, we need to unearth ourselves. Because, listen, as Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, we are seated in heavenly places with Christ. See, this is kingdom. See, what we have to realize is that what we're going through on this level, on earth's level, on the level where we're living in the flesh, where our bodies are walking every day, what we're going through on this level does not compare to the power that we have if we walk in the heavenly realm. We got to walk in another realm. We need to get out of the earthly realm and begin to operate in the heavenly realm. I don't have time for the nonsense down here. You understand what I'm saying? We don't have time for the devil's wiles. That's why we have to put on the full armor of God. And that armor, it says above all, the shield, pick up the shield of faith, amen, so that you could guard off the darts. Of the fiery darts of the evil one, amen. That means the devil's going to throw lies at you, at your mind, trying to get you to believe his lies. And we have to have that shield to save. And what does the shield protect? It protects your heart. And we also have the breastplate of righteousness. So God has given us devil protection for our hearts, amen. You don't have to walk around mad. You don't have to walk around bitter. You don't have to walk around with an edge. protecting your heart. No, God has given you a new heart. Remember, he, in Ezekiel, he took away the heart of stone, gave you a heart of flesh. He's given you a new heart, right? So, and then he's given you covering to protect that heart. He's given you the breastplate of righteousness. Listen, your righteousness is as filthy rags, but the blood of Christ, Jesus gave us a righteousness that nobody can take away. You have the righteousness of Christ. Amen. So he gave us the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith. Amen. And then he gave you a commandment to guard your heart. So don't let everybody in. You know, that same old joker, that same person that broke your heart before, still smiling and winking at you. And you just need to turn and go the other way. You need to just tell them, look, I'm not interested. It's over. I don't know why I'm going here. But some of you just need to tell some people, Satan, get behind me. You know, it's over. I'm not going down that road any longer. I've laid aside the weight and the sin. I'm guarding my heart, and you cannot penetrate. You can't get in. Amen. And we just need to guard our hearts. Amen. And then finally, as God was talking to me, and I'm getting ready to open up the phone lines, as God was talking to me about issues, he reminded me of the woman with the issue of blood. You know, this woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. And they talk about it in the Gospels. But Luke, the physician, I like the way that Luke, the physician, put it. He said in chapter 8, Luke 8:42, the second part of 42, it says, but as he went, the people thronged him, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And the Bible says immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, who touched me? And when all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. Listen. Some of us are going to the wrong places and the wrong people trying to get healing for our issue. And God is saying that we have to touch the hem of the garment of Jesus Christ and receive the healing that is to be released from him. Virtue, dunamis, amen, is being released when we get into the presence of the Lord. See, when you get into the presence of the Lord, when you go and you pray to God and you praise God, and when you read his word, my God, and you meditate on God, you meditate on the word of God, and you there's a power, there's a virtue that is released from Jesus. And that virtue, that dunamis power, that power, it will heal every issue. It's supernatural. It's supernatural. I can't explain it, but I know that I got to the point where I said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. And God never let me down. He healed me. He healed me, delivered me, he set me free. And I just thank God for Jesus. I thank God that he took away all of my issues, my pain, my shame, the guilt, the low self-esteem. I mean, as a matter of fact, I had no self-esteem. He validated me. So many of you are waiting for somebody to validate you. You think because you're not married that you're invalid, that you need a man to make you whole. But I'm telling you, my sister, you don't need a man to make you whole. You just need Jesus to make you whole. You just need God. You just need to get to him of Jesus, sit at his feet, and like the woman with the alabaster box, begin to wash his feet with your tears and dry them with your hair. You know, begin to worship God. I mean, get to the point where you are truly worshiping God. Jesus told the woman at the well, he says, the Father is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Listen, we need to get rid of this superficial worship where we're pretending like we're praising God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No. Really get to the point where you are praising God with everything in you. Forget about your neighbor. Forget about that sister that doesn't like you. Forget about that brother who did you wrong. And praise God and worship God for real, for real, for real. Then you will truly be set free. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. We got to get to the point where we truly are touching the hem of his garment. See, no virtue. We don't have any power because we're not tapping in. We need to tap in. We need to tap in. I need to get into the inner court. I need to get into the holies of holies, the holiest of holies. Amen. I need to get in where the priest used to go, the minister to God. You know, and we are ministers. We're a royal priesthood. Amen. You are a royal priesthood. Your first ministry, woman of God, man of God, has to be to Jesus. If you're not ministering to Jesus on a daily basis, if you're not falling on your face, if you're not praying and calling out to the Lord, how can you go and minister to somebody else? I just want to know, because I'm so sick and tired of false prophets and phony preachers. I'm tired of being disappointed by people who can talk the talk, but they are not walking the walk. I'm tired of the headlines talking about yet another pastor, yet another prophet, evangelist, apostle, preacher, minister of music, choir leader who has fallen, you know, in the news. I'm just sick of it. And I'm sure God is sick of it, because he says we're supposed to love what he loves and hate what he hates. Amen. So we have to deal with our issues. The only way that we're going to help the land, heal the land, is my people who will call by my name, will humble them, will repent and turn from their evil, humble themselves and pray. Then I will heal their land. It starts with you. It starts with me. Amen. We gotta deal with our issues, amen. And then finally, the phone lines are open even now as I finish this point. Philippians 3:12, Paul said, I haven't obtained it. He said, but yet I press. He said, I forget those things which are behind and I press, amen. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have to press. Listen, don't grow weary. Keep pressing forward. Forget those things which are behind. Listen, he hurt you. You know, she disappointed you. Mama wasn't there. Daddy wasn't there. You know, you may have been molested. You've been hurt. You might be carrying some stuff right now that's hard. It's hard. You know, but God is saying drop it. Drop it today. You know, just like the woman at the well, when Jesus finally finished dealing with her, what did she do? She dropped her water pot, and she went and told everybody about Jesus. So drop your water pot, sister. That water pot, that thing that you're depending upon to quench your thirst. Drop your water pot. It's time to drop it. Drop it. Drop it. You know, I mean, my God, drop it. You know how you pick up a hot pot and you don't have on gloves and you drop that pot? Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's a hot pot. You know what I'm saying? Drop that pot and don't pick it up again. Drop that dude. Some of you need to drop a dude. You need to drop somebody who's coming by and he's calling you at the midnight hour, and the only time you hear from him is at 11 o'clock p.m. What do you want? It's bedtime. And that's exactly what he wants. He wants to come over and get in your bed, or have you come over and get in his bed. But we have to, we got to drop them. You got to drop them. You got to drop those cookies and cakes, ladies. You know, those things that are giving you that high cholesterol and that high blood pressure, all of that fried food, the sugars and the sweets and the fried food. I love fried food. Food, I love sugar, I love sweets. I'm talking to myself right now, hallelujah. But we got to drop it like it's a hot pot. She dropped that pot, and she went and told everybody about Jesus. So let me ask you now, what are you going to do? You know, when it comes to dealing with your issues, it's, you know, some of our issues date back. This woman had an issue for 12 years. Some of us have issues that go back 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40 years. And listen, when you receive Jesus Christ, you receive all of the power that you need to heal you. It's in you. It's in you. And I see Lady of God talking about soul ties. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Get rid of that soul tie. And that some of us are not, the man's gone. He's been gone. You know, he's been gone. He's been gone a long time, but we still, every time we think about him, we're doing flip-flops. Our stomach is doing somersaults, you know. We get the silly little look on our face when somebody mentions his name, or maybe we get mad when we hear his name or her name. It could be a female that did you wrong. Amen. Hallelujah. And God is saying it's just time to give up that old baggage. You know, that baggage is weighing you down, you know. And Lady of God, she's testifying. You know, she's saying, because she's been there. You know, you got to know, you can only testify from where you've been. And she said, he's in your spirit, and your flesh acts up, you know, like you get an urge for that thing, you know. You got to have it, amen. You just can't resist. And you find yourself picking up the phone, calling him. And then it's time for us to deal with that thing. You know, we want to do right. We want to, Paul says, I want to do right, but I do find myself doing wrong. He said, what can help me? And then he said, only Jesus Christ. See, people use Paul saying, I want to do right, but I do wrong, as an excuse to do wrong. But Paul finishes that up by saying, only Jesus. Thank God for Jesus, because Jesus is able to help me from doing the wrong that I would do, but he's given me the power to do the right that I should do. Come on, somebody. We got to know, listen, stop making excuses. You have more power than you realize. You have more power than you realize. And nobody wants to talk about this. Everybody wants to make excuses. You know, we get all the way up to apostle, and we still being a con man. We still running around taking advantage of people. We still stealing. We still cheating. We still lying. But we running around with the title of apostle. Come on. And we're treating people wrong. And we're making the church look bad. Come on. Come on. We got to do better. We need to drop our issue. We need to drop that pot. Amen. Drop that thing that's bringing us pleasure outside of the will of God, and just get it together. Amen. And if it's too hard, let me pray for you. If you're finding it, look, I want to do right, but I'm having a hard time. Yeah, Lady of God's preaching. She says still drinking, still smoking, still, you know, whoremongering, you know, still doing the things that we know we should not do. And as women of God, listen, God has such a great plan for your life. That's why the devil has come against your life the way that he has. That's why the attack has been so strong against your life. That's why, you know, the devil tried to kill you. But you need to be like me. You got to be like me. I said the devil, he blew it. He blew it because he should have killed me when he had a chance. And I'll be doggone if I'm going to help the devil kill me. Did you hear what I said? The devil should have killed me when he had a chance. But now, you know, because when I was on his side, I was really on his side. There was nothing I would not do for Satan. Come on. Even though I did not know that I was working for Satan, but I was the leader of the pack. I would get women together. Come on, let's go to the club. We get to the club, I'd be the one batting my eyes and crossing my legs, amen, flirting with the guys, amen, dancing with the guys, flirting up the guys so they could buy us setups. Remember setups? Where they give you the whole pint of liquor with a chaser and some ice and some glasses and a pitcher. Come on. And we didn't spend any money in the club, amen, because they knew when I walked in the door with my posse, amen, that the divas were there, amen, and everybody wanted to be a part of it. Now, if I could do that for the kingdom of darkness, what more can I do for the kingdom of God? Well, listen, you were the best of the best when you were a sinner. Why can't you give God that? Be the best of the best in the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. My chat room is hot. I see you, ladies. God bless you. Amen. The chat room is hot. You know, we have to We got to do something. You know, listen, God needs to get the glory out of my life. God needs to get the glory out of your life. Listen, the devil's going to do everything that he can to stop God from getting the glory out of your life. He's going to make you scared. He's going to make you feel insignificant. He's going to have people come against you for no reason. The same people that you minister to, the devil's going to send them on assignment to come and get your heart. That's why you have to guard your heart. The devil's going to do everything. He's going to put that fine man in front of you. And for some of you who have been delivered from homosexuality, he's going to put that fine woman in front of you. And you have to resist the devil and draw near to God. The devil will flee. Come on. And, yeah, the weight comes off. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. And we got to know that God has more in store for you. You're not sloppy seconds. You don't have to take no one's sloppy seconds. A half a man is better than no man. No, the devil is a liar. A half a man is just a half a man. He's just that. And if he's somebody else's man, he's not only a half a man, but he's a whoremonger, he's a liar, and a cheater. Come on. What do you want with that? What do you want with somebody say, well, baby, I'm married to her, but you're the one that rings my bell. No, ring. Don't even ring my bell. Don't ring my doorbell. Don't ring my phone, my cell phone bell. Don't ring nothing. Stop settling for less. How did I get here? Somebody call in. 646-652-4832. Call in. Let your voice be heard on the Women to Women Show. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all. Women, come on. You know, I know what it's like. I used to say the word, and I stopped using the word long ago, but maybe I need to say it. You're nobody's booty call. Come on. You don't have to be there and be accessible to satisfy somebody's love, and that's the only commitment that they're going to make to you, that you're going to be there to make them feel good. No, make me feel good. Put a ring on it. Come on. I mean, we need to stop. We got to stop selling ourselves short and selling ourselves cheap. You are royalty, woman of God. You are more precious than rubies. You are somebody in God's sight. You are a magnificent jewel. You are an asset. You are favor. The Bible says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing. You are a good thing and obtain a favor from the Lord. You are a good thing and you are favor. Amen. Hallelujah. When the right man recognizes who you are, then he will be blessed. When you recognize who you are, then you will be blessed. Come on. See, we got so far away. Yeah, that's right. We are God's daughters. Amen. We are God's daughters. We are royalty, a royal priesthood, sons and daughters. We, through the blood of Jesus, we have a right to be called the daughters of God. And, you know, whatever your ministry is, you don't have to play small. So many of us, because we've been so beaten down by other women primarily and the world, because we've been so beaten down, we've started to compromise. We've started to play small. We've started to diminish our power. We've started to act like we don't have the power that we have, and we're not as wonderful and phenomenal and precious as we are. We've started to downplay our own selves in order to make others feel better. Will you stop it? Don't downplay your beauty. Don't play small just to make somebody feel good. Let me tell you something. If a person has an issue with you because you're beautiful, because you're talented, because you're gifted, because you're royalty, if a person has an issue with you, your playing small is not going to help their issue. It's just going to bring you down to their level. So don't play small just to make somebody feel better. You're not to think more highly of yourself, but at least put yourself on the level that God puts you on, and that's a very high level. You're more precious than rubies. You're the apple of his eye. He has you etched on the palm of his hand. You're royalty. You're a queen, my God. So we have to know who we are and, you know that God has a great plan for us. And listen, you know, get rid of the issues, you know, all of that old stuff, that baggage, you know, it hurts sometimes, but God is going to, God is healing you, amen. He's going to totally heal you and deliver you, but you got to give it to him, amen. And don't go to these physicians that we go to. You know, the physicians, you know, boboing them, you know, looking for love in all the wrong places, you know. Don't go to the physicians because they can't, the physicians, you know, those people that we run to, the girlfriend who, girl, you're the bomb, but she's talking about you behind your back. The boyfriend, oh, I love you, honey, but he won't make a commitment to you. You know, those physicians that, the drug dealer or the liquor store, come on, somebody. How about the food pantry, the corner mart, amen, where I got to go get me a fix, a sugar fix. Come on. We can't do that. Don't go to those physicians because you heard me read it in the scripture that those physicians could not make her better. This woman had an issue of blood, and it said that she went to the physicians, and Luke, the physician said this. Luke was a doctor. Come on. And so she went to the physician, spent all her money, and neither could be healed of anything because they could not make her better. The only thing she could do is run to Jesus and touch the hem of his garment. Come on, somebody. We've been running to the wrong places, people, things. We need to run to Jesus. Amen. And let him fix us. For real. You want to be fixed for real? I know I want to be fixed for real. I you know, reoccurring. Sometimes I told my husband I get intimidated. I get a call. People call me to come preach. I got to deal with my flesh. I have to deal with my flesh. No, I'm a powerful woman of God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But you have to deal with your flesh because your flesh rises up. It says, no, flesh, go sit down. Get under. You have to tell your flesh to get under. Amen. Get under. Get under subjection. Because when God has an assignment for your life, you don't have time to be backpedaling. You don't have time to get scared. You know, you just got to be ready, be ever ready. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, let the word of God dwell richly in you. Amen. Hallelujah. So you can be ready to go out and snatch some from the pit of hell. Amen. Even if you're not preaching, even on Facebook, on Blog Talk Radio, on Talk Show, wherever you are, amen, on the street corner while you're waiting for the bus, amen, be ever ready to testify about the goodness of Jesus and give an explanation. Let people know why you believe what you believe. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't let nobody make you shirk back because you're a woman of God. You're a woman of God. You're a woman of great power. You're a woman of great potential. Possibilities and promise rest on your life. Amen. Hallelujah. And every day is a new beginning. Yesterday you might have messed up, but guess what? Yesterday is over, and today is a brand new day, and you have a brand new opportunity to take advantage of and give God the glory. Somebody say glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory. Listen, you all are letting me talk. It's been almost an hour. We're going to give God the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Because he's worthy. Amen. Somebody needs to hear that today. Amen. You don't have to play small. You don't have to stop talking about Jesus. Go ahead and say Merry Christmas. You don't have to stop talking about Jesus. Don't hold your head down. Hold your head up. Listen, you might be feeling down inside because you got an attack. You know, when you wake up feeling down and discouraged, that's the devil. He's jumping on you before you can get out of the bed because he's scared that when your feet hit the floor, you're getting ready to shake up his kingdom. You're getting ready to shake up his kingdom, and he's intimidated by you. Let me kill this demon. The devil is scared of you. He's intimidated by you. He's scared of you. You know, you don't have to be scared of the devil. He's trying to make you scared of him, but he's scared of you. He can't touch you without God's permission. And God said he'll never put any more on you than you can handle. If God allows Satan to have his way with you, it's only because God is working some stuff out in you. It's only because God wants to purge some stuff from you. It's only because there's some things in you still that God wants to get rid of. The Bible says he chastises those he loves. And some of the stuff he'll let the devil go ahead and deal with you on. Amen. You know how our parents used to beat us? Amen. You remember those old time whoopings we used to get? You know, where our parents beat the gates of hell out of us? And we have to realize that God will allow life sometimes to press us to the point where all of that mess is pressed up out of us. We got to deal with our issues. And if you don't deal with them and you know God is using you and you know God has a great plan for you, God's going to deal with them. God will deal with them. God wants you to know him. Why do you think Job went through what he went through? Job went through everything that he went through so that he could get to chapter 42. I believe it's chapter 42 where he said, God, I'm sorry. I thought I knew of you. I thought I knew you, but I didn't really know you. But now since I've gone through everything that I know, that I've been through, I can say I know that I know that I know that I know you. Come on. Can you say that? That you know 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 God? I know, I'm there. I've been through so much. Anybody been through so much that you thought you weren't going to make it? You just didn't think you were going to live through that thing. But you continue to keep your eyes on Jesus. You continue to fill yourself with the word. You continue to eat that word and drink that word and sleep that word. My friend Kathy Jones is listening, and she told me she sleeps with the word. She has a DVD, puts it on repeat. She probably has an MP3 now. Puts that thing on repeat, plugs it into her ear, and goes to bed. Amen. So that word is filling her up as she sleeps instead of the devil coming in through nightmares. Amen. We got to get that word in us. We got to get that word. Let the word of God dwell richly in you, and it will push all of your issues out. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And in the chat room, I haven't had time to catch up, but the chat room is hot. If you're in the chat room, my God, they are just really going up. One thing that Lady of God is saying, to share your testimony, you know, open up and talk, stop being silent. And we talked about that on Tuesday night, that the devil will keep you bound up by keeping you silent, amen, by keeping you holding it in. And she says, and let all that mess, don't let that the devil she said, you did not get on here to be silent and let all that mess stay in you. Amen. You got to get it out. And Pastor Sherry Jones said that God has delivered her from sexual perversion, homosexuality, addiction, being bipolar. Come on, somebody. You tell me. You know what? This is what we're talking about. You tell me that God can't take our issues away. God can do anything but fail. God's arm is not too short, and his power has not been shortchanged. Amen. God knows what you can deal with. Amen. And God knows the power that you have in the words that you speak. Amen. And the Bible says that we defeat the enemy. We defeat the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by our testimony. Amen. And they're testifying in the chat room. My God. My God. Testify in the chat room. I don't even know if I can share this, but Lady of God is testifying that she was molested. Amen. She was also molested, and she said God delivered her from the hurt. She said she forgave her brother. She said he's dead, but she made amends. He made amends with her and with her mother. Her brother molested her, and she had to forgive him. Amen. And she says that she knows that we serve a mighty God. Amen. A mighty God. And that's what we have to know. And she says that she is a living testimony. And she did give me permission to share her testimony because God, listen, there is power in the blood of Jesus. And look, we are covered. You and I are covered in the blood. We're covered in the blood. Amen. The blood of Jesus is over my life, which means that death has to pass us by. We have a caller. Thank God for our caller on today. Amen. Area code 225, you're on the air. Welcome to the Women to Women Show.
Hello. God bless you, Sister Rebecca. This is Evangelist Patricia Gradney from Call Unto Me Radio Broadcast right here on Blog Talk.
Yes, God bless you, Evangelist.
God bless you, and God bless the women that are in the chat room. My God, I'm reading the blogs, and the deliverance that is going forward is a testament to the word that's being preached. But I wanted to call in and encourage the women of God that, you know, there are so many things that we have experienced in our lives that's true. And even though the scars have healed on the outside, the scars that are hidden on the inside are the one things that keep us from going forward. The two things that I know as I minister to women that are wounded, secretly wounded, we call them women with attitudes, but they're secretly wounded. The one thing that I remind them that God says that he is the glory and the lifter of our bow down head. The one thing that the enemy wants to keep us in is shame. And shame is a weapon that the enemy uses for us not to embrace our healing, not to embrace our deliverance, not to embrace our fullness, not to walk towards our destiny. And the only way we're going to get to come through those stumbling blocks or those things that keep us bound, those secrets that we have inside of us, the one thing that's going to keep us is shame. And I wanted to encourage the women today, listen, you can get up from wherever you are. You can come from your secrets. You can come from your hiding places. There are women that are mature in the body of Christ. Sure, we don't like to share our testimony because the minute you share something heart to heart with, it's all over the church. And not everybody is ready for their testimony to be shared abroad. But when the time comes, God will give you the strength that when you share your testimony, the shame is gone. But we have to get back to restoration as women of God in the body of Christ because we have to embrace them. Because so was I, so were you, so were the women that are in the chat room, so were the women that have yet to come to God. They're afraid to tell all that they've done because the shame binds them, and then we embarrass them more when we break the confidentiality and we wound them even more. This is what we have to do. We are putting out, and I'm listening to you share today about the women that we are not booty calls. We were. We absolutely were. Sure, we were. We paid rent. We paid car notes. We got our hair done, our nails, all the things that we had to do. But we're in Christ now, women of God. And stop letting these men pick over you like they're picking over fruit in the fruit stand. Because what happens is I was a part of a church, and I absolutely left the church. I know I don't want to take too much time, but I'm trying to rush. But I left the church, Pastor Rebecca. I listen to your husband talk about marriage every time you come on, and that is what we so long for. But listen to me. I left this church because the men in the church would pass the women around. Everybody had slept with everybody. And I kept saying, I said, there's something wrong with the flow of God in this church. And I remember when I sent the letter and I told the pastor, I said, I have to leave. Not because I'm afraid of falling, but because no one here can tell me anything about God, because men that are in the house of God and in the presence of God are two different men. You can go to church. That doesn't mean that you're in God. That doesn't mean that God is in you. But men that are in the presence of God, don't do this. Men that really embrace and kiss the glory of God. Men that come before the very Shekinah won't treat women like that. And these are the men that you have to wait for. Don't let these men pick over you like they're picking fruit. Don't let them pass you around through the church. Just because everybody doesn't know, someone knows that you're sleeping. One of the young ladies got up in the church, and she began to testify. She was a beautiful young lady when she was young. And she said, I slept with most of y'all husbands in here. Most of y'all sick of me, and y'all know I slept with y'all. Yeah, and I sat there, and all I could think was, oh, where is God in this? These are the men and the men were laughing and sliding down in their seats and saying that she was crazy. Listen, women, it's not worth it. He's not worth that. I'm telling you, you are worth more than rubies, more than diamonds. You are worth the blood that came from Emmanuel's vein. And that's what we have to get back to, Pastor Rebecca. We have to remember what we are worth. It doesn't matter how many abortions, how many women you slept with, how many men. If you raped children or somebody, you were a child that was being raped, doesn't matter what was done to your body. It's your mind and your spirit and your heart that God is after. That's where your healing has to come. That's where your secret sins and your secret the little things that we keep bedded in our heart, that where we refuse to go forward. Because what happens is the closer we get to God, the more that we embrace the power of God, the more God is going to require that we open the cavities of our heart and the secret places of our heart and let him in. And what happens is all that's waiting on you is deliverance and healing. I'm here today to tell you, listen, he lifted my bow down head, Pastor Rebecca. I live the life that the degree of darkness that God brought me from, it still makes me, I can still feel in my bones, Pastor Rebecca, the degree of darkness that God saved me from. The bullets that went over my head, the cars that I was in, the robberies, everything. That it wouldn't even, you couldn't even look at me and see that. But I know where God brought me from. And you women of God that are in this chat room, listen to me, listen to me well. You're listening at a delivered woman. You're listening at a healed woman. I don't care who comes from your past. I remember I'm a hang up after this.
Go
Pastor
ahead,
Rebecca,
sister.
I was in church one day, and a man grabbed me, and I don't believe in dating men in the church and men coming through my house and fixing lights. And I have a big house, and I said, look, if I have to hire service men, I don't want the men in the church to come through my house, because the minute they come through your house, they think they're welcome to come back. Every aspect of our lives have to be re-cleansed. We have to know the value. If you live in an apartment, don't let those men just come to your house. Don't let them drop you off. If your car broke and you're walking in the rain, and that's the only way that you have walk in the rain, because your reputation and your worth and your value, you have so many women that are raped in the body of Christ, raped by deacons, raped by ministers, raped
Jesus.
By pastors. I work in an HIV clinic. Listen to me and listen to me well. I have serviced more men that are preaching this word. Now, it sounds like the word, but the word of God, when you preach it, you become one with it. So the word that's inside, the word that comes from your mouth has to come from the God that's in your heart. But just because it sounds like the word doesn't mean that it's the word. I've serviced men, preachers, that have wives that I live here at their churches. They're HIV positive. They're sleeping with the women in their church, and they got boyfriends. Listen to me, women, wake up. He's not worth that. I don't care what he looks like. I don't care what bishop, what pastor, what apostle, whoever he is, except he is sent to you from God, wait for another. And seek the Lord and ask him, Father, is this the one, or should I wait for another? It doesn't matter what position that he holds in church. It doesn't matter what he does. It doesn't matter what he does in the body of Christ. I don't care who it is. If he is not sent to me by God, I don't want him. I was in a church like I started, and this man pulled me over to himself. And when he pulled me, he grabbed my waist, and he dug his fingers down in my waist. And I turned around, and I told him, I said, now, see, nobody else saw you but me, you, and the Holy Ghost. And this is what I told him. Now, the one that you don't know is the one that was before Christ. That's me. If you ever touch me like that again, I promise you, I will snap you in half. But because I don't have to do it, I'm not my protector. I don't have to protect. God sent angels to protect me. God has sent the word. I have the word as a weapon. Because I have those forces working for me, the next time you raise your hand to touch me, I promise you, God's going to smite you dead. And that's how we as women of God have got to know who we are in God. You can do it. There are so many women that need these testimonies that's in this chat room. There are so many women, Pastor Rebecca, that have to come to God. And we are the only light that they're looking at. Whether we are dim or shining brightly, they need to know that, hey, I walked that way. I came that way. I've been with those men. I've been on the streets. I was a thief. I packed two guns. They need to know that God delivered us. He can deliver them.
Yeah.
I wanted to call in today because I was listening to you say, you know, that the value of who we are. You got to know who you are. If when you close your door and go outside and face the world, if you don't know who you are out in the public, who you are behind closed doors, you are not whole. You are not delivered. Because if men can tell you who you are and what you are worth, you don't know your value. And men will come in your life and destroy you. And these are the men that are preaching what they say is the gospel. God didn't send all these men to us. He didn't send these men to us. They came and we accepted them. Now it's time to send them back from whence they've come. Because if that's not your husband, you don't need a boyfriend. We don't need boyfriends. We need husbands.
Yeah.
Man, it's a boyfriend no more. It's no such thing as all this dating and you touch it on me and touch it on my breast and we're going to end up on one accord. It doesn't work like that. We are women of God with value, with restoration, with dimension. We have vision in front of us. We have strength. We have courage. These are things that we have walked the floors during the night, Pastor Rebecca. We cried our eyes out to get to deliverance only to give it up to somebody who God has not called to us. That's not what God
has.
He has so much. So I wanted to call in today and say, women of God, you're beautiful. From Calling to Me radio broadcast, I want to tell you that you're beautiful, you're loved, your value is far above you, rubies. And no preaching in the world can't tell you until you go to God. You have to go like the woman did at the well. Meet with God by yourself and let him break you down fiber by fiber and then let him put you back together piece by piece. Every little fragment that God wants to use, he'll give it back to you. And when you leave that well, you'll never leave thirsty again. You'll never be blinded. You'll never be tricked. You'll never have to sell your body again. And you will be the light that draw me in back to the well and say, this is where I found my deliverance. And I'm telling you today, God is awesome. And I'm so glad for this broadcast. I just so happened to pass through it, but I wanted to call in because the words you were sharing, you kept saying, you know, you're not, when you said you're not a booty call, that set something off inside of me. So Merry Christmas, everybody. God bless you. Be encouraged, Pastor Rebecca. I love your broadcast, and I love when your husband come on and talk to us about marriage. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you calling to me. God bless you, Evangelist. God bless you.
You are so welcome.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
Amen. When is your show on? You have a show here on Block Talk Radio. I see you calling. I'm going to put you on the air. You have a show here on Block Talk Radio?
I do have a calling to me, but I've been working so much I haven't been on. I'm going to start scheduling back again tomorrow night so you guys can, you know, tune in and it'll go in the archives because, you know, God is still giving us a word of deliverance. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, thank you so much for calling in. God bless you. Wow.
Okay.
Wow, amen. That's powerful, what she just said. And I know we were listening. Area code 732, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman Show. I believe area code 732, you had your hand up. You're on the air. Welcome to the Woman to Woman Show.
Okay. The truth, God is doing it. The
leg, the heart. He
said, everything that was is not. I said, that was the issue with the leg.
Okay, that is not, that person did not want to be on the air. Amen. It sounds like they made a mistake and raised their hand. But let me tell you something, Evangelist, she just called in here and just set a fire. Amen. To God be the glory. So we are, the switchboard is still open, 646-652-4832. But I pray that you heard every word that she said about your value. So often things do happen to us in life that make us feel like we don't have any value. But what she said, that really, my God, that really messed with me. Men passing women around in the church, and the sister that got up and testified that she had slept with almost every man, married and single, in the church, that's a mess. That's a church where, like she said, God is not dwelling in that church. There's just something wrong with that picture. Amen. So I just thank God for her calling in, for the fire and the zeal that she has. Amen. To see women delivered, and to God be the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Wow. Anyone else that wants to call in, the switchboard is open, 646-652-4832. You can call in and let your voice be heard. I believe Pastor Emily is here. I don't know if he has the marriage moment today or if he wants to let his voice be heard on this subject. Let's see what's going on with Pastor Emily, 862. Honey, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman Show.
Oh, praise the Lord. I've been tremendously blessed by the comments on today and the dialogue that I've heard. I've been kind of in and out, but your last caller brought so much to the table. We're in a unique day. We're in the last day in Matthew 24, Timothy 3. It's all coming to pass, but you know God still has a remnant that won't bow. I am totally convinced. On my way home, Kobe Bryant's wife, who forgave him on several fronts, I finally filed for divorce because of infidelity. Even our political circus that we see periodically as this presidential election is coming up next year, it's amazing how everything is hidden will be revealed. But the reason we talk to married couples is because you have to be proactive. You have to be serious about your ministry of marriage to your spouse. You have to say yes to the Lord. You have to deny yourself daily. You have to sacrifice much. It's a unique hour, and there's a great attack from the enemy against marriage. We don't have to look too far to see that the family is not valued like it used to be. The marriage vows are not valued like they used to be. The covenant promise to one another is not what it used to be. But faith cometh by hearing through the word of God. So we try to penetrate your ear gate because that's what worked for us. We were wretched. We were filthy rags. We have been given grace by God, and we said yes to the Lord, and his transforming power have transformed our lives. That's the only reason we can stand strong today as a husband and wife, united, becoming that one flesh. It remains a mystery, but God is able. And Pastor Rebecca, as you talked about it earlier from the book of Hebrews, laid out every weight. I remember the years that we had a certain tension in our marriage, and it took a while, but the word keeps coming back in my spirit right now, breakthrough. Hallelujah, glory. I feel God. Breakthrough. Because some marriages, they're thinking about quitting, but breakthrough is right on the horizon. You're that close to a tremendous breakthrough. The kind of trouble, the kind of trials, the kind of tension that's been in your marriage, the dialogue, the counsel, the books you've read, the people you've talked to for advice, it seemed like you just can't turn a corner in your marriage. But I'm here to tell you breakthrough is there. If you don't faint, if you be not weary, you're going to break through. And certain thorns that have been in your marriage for a while, God will remove it. Certain stumbling blocks that have been getting in the way. In the day in which we're living, Pastor Becker, there are a lot of second and third marriages, blended families, as you said, the pain of the past. And a lot of that baggage, a lot of that luggage comes into a marriage covenant. And it is a hard thing to do. With man, it's impossible, church, people of God. But with God, all things are possible. And you need God to make your marriage work in this hour. You need God to be the center. Jesus said, build your marriage on my word. And when storms come, that marriage will last. So I'm just reminded, as Paul wrote to the church of Corinthians, love is patient. You got to be patient with one another. It takes time. So many marriages, I just sense in my spirit today, even as you were talking, that's what's happening. A lot of women and a lot of men are coming into the marriage covenant with what you're talking about today, some issues from the past that had never been resolved. And we're bringing that in, trying to go on with life, yet we never dealt with the hard issues that God is trying to penetrate. I talked about the purging process in our church. God wants to purge us. He wants to make us better so that we can be more fruitful. But we got to allow him to touch those areas in our lives that are sacred to us. And God wants you whole. God wants you well. I'm talking to men and women because I had issues. I mean, that was deep. Your sister, she just talked about it. Some of us came from some dark areas. But God has now brought us into the marvelous light. But I'm here to remind you, your marriage is that close to a breakthrough. And when you get through this, God is going to get the glory out of your marriage. I just want to admonish you and exhort you and plead with you to make your marriage work. Because as we said, a lot is going on with the church. But when people see a godly, good marriage, that gives people hope.
Yes, amen, amen.
And, you know, Pastor, you know, it's just so powerful because calling to me, she just called in and she just opened up a whole nother realm, something we don't see going on in our church and we haven't seen because the church that we came from before we actually started the ministry, they basically walked upright before the Lord as much as possible. You know, but it's getting to the point now where people are not leaving their sins outside of the church, and they're bringing those sins into the church. So now you have married men who are sleeping around with the single women or even the married women in the church, and you have single women and single men sleeping around with each other, and they're sleeping around in the church, and it's no big deal. It seems like, you know, we have almost watered down the gospel to the point where we're not preaching against sin, and sin is no big deal to the people. It seems like the people, not in our church, of course, but the people of God just seem to have no apparent reverence for God and no fear of God and no love for God, because if we truly do love God, then we're not going to sin against them. You know, if you love somebody, you're going to treat that person right, you know, and some of us are just not treating God right. You know, if we love him and we say we love him and we know what grieves him and we know what grieves his spirit, then we're not going to do those things. If he says, I don't want you to do A, B, C, and D, then we shouldn't even have a desire. If our love should be so great for God that anything that would hurt him, we don't even have a desire to do those things. And I think we're getting away from that as the church, but as the church, you know, again, a new creation is pretty much the parties of the pastors. You have to know, I was reading Thessalonians, I believe it was 2 Thessalonians this morning, and it said that to know those who serve amongst you. You need to know who your leaders are. You need to know what their character is. You need to know that that man is a man of integrity, that that woman is a woman of integrity. You know, and it even goes back to the way that we dress. You know, sometimes people don't want to, they don't want you to talk about their cleavage. Don't talk about my clothing, how I'm dressing. But ladies, you know, this is so important, because if we go to church and we have all of our breasts hanging out and we have on pants and skirts that are so tight that you can see everything, then those men are having a hard time keeping their minds on God and the Word of God. And then they're looking at you according to how you're packaged. You know, honey, I know you can help me with this. A lot of women get mad when I start talking about how we dress, you know, but me even being a woman of God, I came from the world. And coming from the world, when I got ready to go to the Vanity Club, when I got ready to go to Brokers and Bogies, you know, when I got ready to go to the bars, I knew to put on something tight and short. I knew that to walk a certain way. I knew what was going to get attention when I walked in the room, and that was my goal, to get attention. And I knew, because I studied men, and I'm telling you, women, that men are visual. My husband tells me this all of the time. Men are visual, and they are looking at the way that you package yourself. They're looking at the way that you present yourself. However, when I got saved and I started changing the way, the Holy Ghost, listen, nobody told me to stop wearing shorts. Skirts and it was preached, but nobody came to me personally and said, don't show your cleavage, you know. But as I got saved, the Holy Ghost began to rule and reign. The Holy Ghost began to pull my coat and tap me on the shoulder and say, you sure you want to go out with that on? You know, you sure you want to show that much cleavage? You sure you want to wear that dress? It's kind of tight. It's kind of short. And the Holy Ghost began to deal with me on my clothing. Because I did not want to incite lust. I did not want men lusting after me any longer. I was tired of that. I did not want men's eyes popping out of their head when they saw me. So I wanted men to see me as beautiful, but I didn't want them to lust after me, if you know what I mean. So, Pastor Emily, I don't know. Maybe you can help me with that. What goes on when a man sees a beautiful woman and everything, and she's showing everything? I mean, is that something that we should even be concerned about in the church?
Oh, absolutely. We're living in a day where it's a challenge because, as you just said, even on this broadcast, come as you are. Wear your sneakers, wear your denim, you know, wear what you got. And sometimes, in that case, they don't have the church attire. And then you have some people who are novice, you have baby Christians, You have men who are still led by their lust. The Bible speaks a great deal about seducing spirits and enticement. So we have to be real that this flesh is weak, although the spirit oft times is willing. But as you said, you know, I don't like to make a blanket statement because I remember growing up they used to say all men are dogs, and I just never believed that because I knew some men of integrity. You and I, even as pastors, we know a lot of clergy, a lot of churches. We even affiliate with some of them in this northern New Jersey area. They're living, they're men and women of integrity, and their house represents the integrity that leadership walks in. But there are churches in this hour, the devil has reigned over that man of God, that apostle, that they have titles. Some of them are seminary and have credentials, but they're nasty. And that's the day in which we're living, and the devil is just putting it out there, evil. And then when we as clergy, we as pastors back up from the issue of sin, how can conviction ever take place? How can we ever have David got so convicted because the prophet came to him. Nathan spoke to David. I don't know if the prophet wouldn't have came to David, David probably would have went on with life as usual. So we, as you know, pastors, we do have to deal with every issue under the sun. But the women can take a part in helping brothers stay delivered. Because, come on, as you just said, we came from the party scene. First 30 years of my life, I hit the party scene hard and heavy. And we are in a day where, you know, sex is all over. Sex is everywhere. Television, movies, radio, music, it is just in your face. And a lot of women who are prideful saying to themselves, I'm not making that man lust after me and he's married. I'm not making, you know, the pastor look. But as you just said, we are physical. And I'm speaking to brothers today. They are men of integrity. They are faithful to their wives. They are trying to live chaste and celibate. But sisters, make it easier for us. Help a brother out. We've come where we played the field. We've come where we've strung women along. And now we're in the church trying to get and stay delivered. We need help. From every aspect of Christ, we need help. We are the body of Christ. And Pastor Edgar, you know, that's why some pastors wear robes still. You know, we've stated, but they wear robes to cover up that flesh. They wear certain garbs to cover up that flesh. So in a place of worship, there's a certain attire, there's a certain modesty, there's a certain look that should be in a house of worship. But we, at New Creation, we don't make people wear certain things. We address issues as they come, if they come. We have a great church. We have, you know, great people. But we do know some churches, as this caller talked about today, that are really far left, and God will deal with instances like that.
Amen. Thank you so much, honey. We have another caller. Area code 901, you're on the air. Welcome to the Woman to Woman show.
God bless you, woman and man of God. This is Pastor Alicia from Tennessee, and this is a powerful, powerful show. There's another addition I wanted to add on to open another can of worms that's being silenced and hidden in the church. I know I'm from Michigan, moved here to the South, and some of the adversarial attacks on our ministry, we're a prophetic team, it's just unconscionable. The enemy, we know men have been under attack for decades, but not many people address this new wave of movement that is attacking women. You have lesbians, vile affection, where people are saying they're apostles and prophetesses. I flow in the prophetic, but there are people getting up into the pulpit, and we have walked out of ministries that we have visited because it is full of lesbianism, full of bulldoggerism. And there, you, like the man of God said, there are some men of integrity, and I'm finding that a lot of these women that are battling in this area, you can normally tell when a man is that way, but it's hard to detect women unless they dress down like a guy. Most of them have been hurt, wounded, bruised, bad marriages, some other woman lured their husband away. Now they're all messed up, and they've been attacked by this stronghold and this demon spirit, and they actually think they're going to heaven. The devil has deceived them. And I was looking at a scripture, Romans chapter 1, where it talks about how the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. I'm just going to skip through it. I'm not going to read all of it for sake of time on your show. But then it talks about how God, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies. And a few verses down it says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affection, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And if you go on, it talks about, people always grab the scripture men with men, but it talks about the woman. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, it tells us that in the last days, perilous times shall come, and men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. I'll go down, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, and so on. Why did I read that? We're in the last days. The enemy is bold. The women of God, those of us that are just and living holy, we even have to be careful who we connect with, because some of these women out there that's prophesying and preaching the word and saying they're all there for God are just waiting to try to attach themselves. You know, the spirit of Jezebel attacks men and women. Jezebel did what? She had vile affection, manipulate, seducing spirit, and there's a lot of that going on in the church. And so I just wanted to bring that out there for you all, because this here in where I'm living, I mean, when we first set foot on the ground, personally, I worked a company where a woman was a lesbian, but goes to a Holy Ghost-filled church, mind you, and had a fit because she couldn't have me and was punching me with her fist in the workplace. And the companies will protect the gay people more than they will people who are heterosexual. And this is in the church. This is in the church, in the black church. And this is something you hardly ever hear anybody address. I'm done.
Wow, Jesus. Well, Pastor Alicia, I'm so glad you called in to open up that particular topic, because it's just, it's so true that there are so many things going on in God's church. And I think my husband said there's still yet a remnant. And that's what, and like you were saying, and he said too, we're in the last days, because the Bible talked about it again in 2 Thessalonians when Paul came back and wrote that second letter and said to them, no, it's not the end times right now. You will know it when the evil one comes to set himself up in the house of God as God. You know, when the devil literally comes in and tries to take over the house of God, he will send his representative to come in and set up himself as leadership in the house of God. And that is what's really going on, as so many of the leaders, I'm not going to say our leaders, but so many of the leaders that are setting themselves up in ministry, that these are not the gifts, the ascension gifts. We know that Jesus gave us the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, and the pastor. But these are those people that are putting themselves in position, and they do not have God's heart. They are not saved. They're not delivered. They're not set free. They are looking at church as a business or as a way to elevate themselves or to elevate their agenda, which is not God's agenda, but the devil's agenda. And that is coming in the form of male and female. And a lot of these people are have that vile spirit, you know, that spirit of homosexuality, the spirit of lesbianism. And, you know, it's unfortunate when you have to meet somebody who's a pastor or who's saved or goes to a Holy Ghost-filled church, and you meet them outside of the church, and they are not representing anything that church represents. They're representing the devil. And that's why we have to be so careful that we deal with our issues and let God deliver us, so that we're not making a mockery of the name of Jesus Christ and crucifying Christ all over again. You know, I tell you, God's going to deal with these people. These people, these women, I haven't encountered that. You know, thank God. But what I have encountered are a lot of fake prophets and phony preachers. You know, people who call themselves by the name of the Lord, but they're not really of Him. And the Bible says we shall know them by their fruit. We should know that tree by its fruit. And what I'm seeing, but you know what, Pastor, is that the crazy thing about that is these people have so many followers that they are people attach themselves to these type of ministries and these type of people, and that allows them to continue to operate the way that they do. But these people have to be exposed. And we have to disassociate ourselves. And nobody wants to talk about that. We're in the black church. We're to the point where anything goes. And that's a sad testament to the glory of God. We have to take back the Lord's church. And people like you and I and my husband and those in the chat room and those on the phone lines, we have to stand up and say, no, we are not going to allow you to operate like this. We're going to expose you. And people don't want to expose the inauthentic ministries. You know, we just want to be quiet and go along to get along. But the Bible talks about marking the man who does not line up with the word of God and disassociating ourselves from that person so that they can learn the lesson, so that they can come into repentance. And so none of that is going on. You know, we're not standing up. We have to stand up. And I don't know how you dealt with that woman. What was the outcome of that? Did she finally get the...
No, she became more violent. The company that claimed that they honored God and all they do, actually the God they honor, based on how long I've been there, was not Jesus Christ God, was the devil, because there were too many people there with that mindset. And they backed one another. They were covering one another. And then to find out that she attends one of the biggest churches here, and another lady who brought her Bible to work every day condemning people about hell, come to find out the two of them were friends. And so you've got the enemy, and the other woman has been ordained on an elder seat of this other church. So you've got the enemy strategically planting these people in these churches, and the devil has deceived them to believe a lie, and they are bold. It's like you see people doing things that dogs will not do, and they are bold because the government has legalized it. Now they are, you know, this new thing, bullies, the bullying syndrome.
Yeah.
They're talking about bullying with children, but you've got bullies that bully adults, bullies on a job, bullies in the church, bullies in the pulpit, and then you've got men. There are some holy men that got women, just like you got men on the down low. They say it's women on the low down. So you got men going to work, working hard to protect their family and their children, and got these women that got their girlfriends, and they laying up sleeping with them, and they getting diseases given them to the brothers. So the enemy is just on a rampage because Jesus is soon to come. But my sisters and brothers out there that are tuning in, that are living holy, that some of you God may have pulled you out of this area, you can be strong. You can maintain. Those of you that haven't been attacked or approached or stalked or gone through that, if you go through it, don't let fear overpower you. I quit the company. I'm a woman of integrity, because there were too many coming out of the closet. And I said, Lord, why are you allowing this? Because I've never been like that or wanted to be like that. But the call on my life is a radical prophetic call where I pull the cover off of sin. And so there's a lot of stuff here in the Memphis area going on. We got a lot of good people here, but we got some people here that I've never encountered in my life. And my heart is saddened. it's just saddened because they don't understand that their soul, you know, when they die, their soul is going to live somewhere forever. And some of them are just assigned by the devil to try to take down holy people. So
wow.
the outcome was I quit the company, and I left the company. Good money, but I left because it's like, you know, I was there almost 2 years, and my husband said when I left, it was like a weight fell off of me. And we have to get to a point where we protect the anointing in our life.
Mm-hmm.
Even Jesus shook the dust off his shoes when he wasn't received. And we got this mind in the black church with some people that, no, we're going to go in there and make them change. Look, Jesus shook the dust off his shoes. He went in, he planted the word. If he wasn't received, he moved on. And we got to know when to move on. Let God take us on and get out of something. And I try, because you can't make, if it's deaf ears, you can't make deaf ears open that don't want to open. So God had to show me. He had to show me that. He showed me, no. I shook the dust off my shoes and moved on when I wasn't received, and I was God incarnate. What makes you think you're going to stay there one person among a pack of wolves and think you can change them? No, baby, it's time to move on to your next assignment. So thank
Amen.
You for letting me share that, and God bless you all with your show.
Amen. Thank you so much, Prophetess, and thank you for calling in, Pastor Prophetess. You know, how do you deal with that? You're a pastor and a prophet. So do you just use the pastor title?
Well, I was ordained in the pastorate because God has blessed me in teaching and deliverance. But as I'm teaching and sharing the word of God, the flow of prophetic breakthrough, the mantle, the fivefold mantle call on my life, and the anointing as God is taking me higher in him, the prophetic is so intensified. My husband and I, we flow, and he's been ordained as a pastor as well. So he's got me. People say, oh, you've got the call of an apostle. I don't take that call lightly. Many people are saying they're apostles. And the Bible says people call themselves apostles whom he did not send. And, you know,
that's
the higher
right.
you go up in the fivefold gifting, don't, people listen. Don't be quick to grab hold to offices because it may sound good. Because each realm you go, there's a different demonic realm of cohorts and imps and Satan worshipers that want to come after you. And if you're not truly anointed in that office of that gifting, you will be demised and destroyed. So when people say, oh, you're an apostle, nope, don't call me an apostle.
Yeah.
No, don't call me. I haven't gone to the nations. Apostles are sent out. They go to the nations, and they plant churches, and they groom people. And you got all these little churches, little wannabes that say they're an apostle. No. That is a serious, serious prophets and prophetesses, they reveal and they speak destiny and purpose and kingdom growth into people. Prosperity, not to prosper money necessarily, but to prosper their spirit. They speak people into their tomorrow to see themselves the way God sees them. And pastors, you know, you teach the word. You share with people how to live holy. All of us should have that kind of a realm of ministry when we meet people. But these people out there that's got these vile spirits, and she had the audacity to get angry when I turned her into HR and they had a meeting with her. I was told she admitted attacking me. Oh, yeah, I did. What? I mean, the enemy is bold, y'all. So it's time for the believers for us to get bold. It's time for us to stand up in who we have our faith in, because the devil's not playing. He's using anybody that will let him use them. And so I came to sound that alarm on your show, because that's something that's been a hush-hush in the church. The enemy is subtly trying to get women to not even want a man. And it's not just the men out there doing this. It's a whole lot of women out there. And then we got this whole new ream going on with the children where they're lying to the children in school that as long as you don't have actual intercourse, you're not in sin. So now they're doing oral sex, and you've got syphilis and all kinds of diseases in our babies, you know, not mine, but I'm just saying as a whole, that's attacking the youth. So the enemy is attacking the men, the women, and the children, young and old. It's time we pray and come together, the remnant that's walking holy, and intercede for these people. God bless you.
Oh, yes. God bless you. And thank you for calling in to sound the alarm and just really let us know that the devil, he's coming from all areas. God bless you and your husband and your ministry. And just thank you. Are you on Block Talk Radio? Do you have a podcast?
Yes, ma'am. I know you were sound the alarm. I have a show called Sound for Today. And another show called Prayer Warrior for You. And you visited one or two of my shows a while back before. So I think you've connected with me as well. So you sound your alarm because we do Sound for Today and Prayer Warrior for You. But my heart was stirred when I heard that woman's testimony. And I read in the chat room, you know, some things that people have happened to people. You know, you get married, you want to trust your spouse, and then AIDS comes upon you, or syphilis, or gonorrhea. But it's not always the women that's being affected. Sometimes it's men that are being affected because, you know, HPV, human papillomavirus, is primarily, when you talk to the medical people, that is one because of oral sex, and women do that a lot. And the HPV is just spreading. And so we need to expose the enemy and his trickery so that you all know strategically how to wage a warring prayer life so that it doesn't come to your house and so that people will be set free.
Amen. Amen.
God bless
you. Thank you so much, Pat. God bless you, my sister. And I'm definitely, I see, I am following you, so I definitely will be stopping over to see you. So thank you so much for stopping by and helping me to just, you know, just do what God has called me to do because we cannot be silent. So thank you, and God bless you.
God bless you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Amen. And that's another thing is she mentioned oral sex. You know, sometimes even as single people, we think that if we're having oral sex that we're not actually fornicating. And, you know, that's another lie because that is outside of God's will for us. And, you're doing stuff that God does not want you to do, especially as a single woman, you know. And these diseases are there. They're there ready to attach themselves to us. As the devil lures us and thinks that we need to just get something, let's get a little piece of satisfaction. No, Jesus is the only satisfaction that we need, you know, married or single. You know, it's amazing. You might say, well, you're married. We just heard your husband. But the thing about it is God, he can satisfy us in ways that no man can, women of God. You know, the Lord, when you really get into his presence and you love on Jesus and you love on the Lord, he will release hormones. He will release endorphins that will satisfy you like no man can. And I truly mean this from my heart, that God is able. He's able to fulfill you to the utmost. God is able to keep you content in all things, you know, that you won't be thirsting and hungering after all of these things that are outside the norm. And that's what we have to realize is that when we're thirsting and hungering for things in the flesh, that's because we're not satisfying the spirit. When we're thirsting and hungering for things in the flesh that are outside of the norm or outside of God's will, that's because we are not spending enough time fulfilling the things of the spirit. We're not spending enough time with God in prayer. We're not spending enough time with God in his word. We're not spending the time to worship him and to praise him. Listen, fill yourself up to the utmost with God. Let him fill you to the utmost. God wants to be your all in all. He wants to be your everything. And with him, there is no lack.
There is no lack. God, there's a promised land right here on earth with God that no man and no woman can even touch. You know, when we get into that secret place with God, none of this stuff will be able to touch us. But we have to stop allowing ourselves to be open and to be subject. And like the pastor just said when she called in, you know, even when the attack comes, you won't shrink back. You won't allow people to just perpetrate their desire upon you. And you'll be like, no, I'm not. I'm turning you in. And even if HR doesn't help, Jesus will help you. Amen. God will help you. She said she left that job, you know, and sometimes we just have to walk out. We have to say, you know what, this is not my source. You know, this is a resource. Your job is a resource that God uses. Amen. Pastor Emmy, I don't know if you have anything to say about that or the last call.
Oh, she stirred up something so powerful in me. You know, it's amazing. This word tolerance just comes to my spirit right now. We had someone who it was discovered that the pastor was in the same-sex relationship, but because of her title in that church, she refused to move from that ministry. So the very elect of God, we got to make the tough decision. If you know, if God give you discernment, if God give you the wisdom of knowledge, if God exposed something, you got that's that He's just telling you in your spirit, you got to make a tough decision. So if we tolerate ministries, as we heard on this show today, if we sit up under mess, if we keep tithing and supporting and encouraging nonsense, it's going to continue. So God is telling the believers that know better to do better. And Pastor Rebecca, I mean, we've had that early in ministry, people coming to us and just want us to be a sounding board, and they refuse to move, and God is telling them to move. And that's when breakthrough happens. God is a restorer. God is a healer. God is a deliverer. The word does work. If you live by faith, as the gesture live by faith, God will honor that faith. It's according to what you believe. Everything visible was produced by everything invisible. And God is saying for the church, the real remnant, to rise up so I can do signs, wonders, and miracles in your life, in your marriage, in your ministry, in your church, in every area of your life. But God is saying, will the real sons and daughters of God be revealed in this hour? It's not time to back up. It's not time to be silent. It's not time to accept or tolerate or be politically correct. God is calling us. We can hear about a program on today. As the people called in, a lot of states were represented on this show today. So there is a remnant, there's a body that's a part of the body of Christ that is saying, no, devil, you are a liar, and I am not bowing down to this world. So she stirred up something in me, and people of God, if they listen to the archives, if they get wind of this, if they're sitting in a ministry, in a church, where they know full well what is happening, God is pleading, begging you to make a move so you can be delivered and stay delivered. So we, Pastor Rebecca, we got to protect our children. As you said, that this is something that's not hard and heavy, but I hear little girls are experimenting with one another. I you know, just through my research and what I listen to, I understand if they go down that road, imagine the kind of confusion they're going to have when they do find Mr. Right in the future, if they experiment with some other little girl in 18 years. So we got to protect our children. Don't let every woman of God be a mentor to your daughter. Don't let every quote-unquote man of God call himself mentoring your son. And can I say this, Rebecca, I'm going to shut up. Parents, please, parent. I said, parents, please, parent your children. It is an hour. They don't need a friend. They need a parent. And we got a father. We got a mother. Our children, like never before. From the daycare to the college campuses, it is a different hour. So God is calling us to step up, step it up in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Anthony. Yeah, and I deal with that on Tuesday nights, too, to how we can prevent our children from being molested. And, you know, we can also prevent our children from getting into these unclean relationships as we parent them carefully and closely and have a communication with our children. Then we are able to have more of an impact in their lives. So I thank you. I want to pray. I want to spend the last few minutes in prayer. Thank you to everybody for tuning in. And the phone lines are still open, 646-652-4832, if you want to talk with us. Amen. But I want to just pray for a minute, a few minutes, just because of everything that's been exposed. Pastor, do I still have the feedback? Pastor Anthony, so he's not here. Just because of everything that's already been talked about, let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you and we magnify your name. Oh God, you are worthy to be praised. There's none like you, Lord, and we just glorify your name on today. Lord, I pray for every listener, oh God, every person who's listening live and every person who's listening via the archive, oh God, and I just ask, Father God, that you will release your healing power over these airways right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, so much has been shared on today. We've talked about molestation. We talked about being wounded, and we talked about the pain of our past, and we talked about homosexuality and lesbianism, oh God. We talked about, Lord, church hurt, oh God. We have shared so much on today, oh God, and we just ask, Father God, that you will step into each and every issue, oh God. We've talked about guarding our hearts, oh Lord, and being delivered from shame and guilt, oh God. Lord, I pray for each and every woman, oh God, each and every man, oh God, that is listening up to the sound of my voice, oh God. Oh God, that you will heal us, oh God, from the pain of our past. Heal us from the shame. Heal us from the guilt, oh God. Oh God, somebody's been molested, oh God. And Father God, there's still some open wounds, oh God. Lord, I just ask, Father God, that you give her total healing on today, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, as she reaches forth to touch the hem of your garment, that you will heal her totally, oh God. Oh God, from that person that touched her, that brother that touched her, that father that touched her, that uncle, that neighbor, that babysitter, that teacher, oh God, that pastor. Oh God, whoever it was, oh God, that perpetrated this crime upon my sister, oh God, I pray for her to be healed right now in the name of Jesus. I break every soul tie, oh God, for women who have been in relationships with men, Father God, who are out on the down low, that they have passed a homosexual spirit even through their intercourse, oh God. I pray for every woman, oh God, Father God, even walking around, Father God, being, Father God, attacked by an unclean spirit, oh God, I purge it and cleanse them right now, oh God, and fill them, oh God, with your dunamis, oh God, with your virtue, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, oh God, whatever the issue is on today, God, maybe it's low self-esteem, oh God. Lord, I build up my sister today, oh God, in the spirit realm right now, in the name of Jesus. Lord, somebody's hurting, oh God, because their husband cheated on them and lied to them, oh God. Oh God, I purge them, oh God, from the pain, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Let your power, let your fire purge them, oh God. Touch them right now, God. Let your fire rain on them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you and we praise you that when you is the fullness, oh God, of everything that we need, oh God, to be whole, oh God. So, Lord, thank you, Lord, even as we extend our faith on this call, oh God, for total healing and total deliverance, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that you are a way maker, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that it's not your desire that we should perish, oh God. That it's not your desire that we should be sick, that Jesus bore our infirmities on the cross, oh God, and that he took care of the enemy, oh God. So, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that the devil has no power over us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we have a desire as a deer panted for the waters, so our souls are longing after you, oh God. So, Lord, I thank you for healing, God, that sister with HIV right now, oh God. I pray, Father God, for supernatural healing right now, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, that your blood will purge her, that your blood will cover her, that your blood, oh God, will heal her, oh God, purify her blood, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Take away every trace of the virus, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Somebody's dealing with cancer, oh God, diabetes, oh God, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, Lord. I pray supernatural exponential healing over their lives right now, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, mend up the brokenhearted, oh God. Take away the shame. Take
take away the guilt, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you are able. There's nothing that you can't do. That person who suffered through church hurt, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I bind up the spirit of lesbianism. I bind up the spirit of homosexuality, oh God. Offer my sisters who are truly seeking to be free on today, God, in the name of Jesus. Offer my brothers who are truly seeking to be free on today, oh God. Oh God, we take it back. We take them back. We take over in the spiritual realm, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for the pure hearted, oh God, those who have a heart for you, those who are longing and panting after you, oh God. Lord, open up the realms. We remove every hindrance, every weight, oh God, everything that would try to stand in the way of my sister getting closer to you, oh God. Oh God, we lay aside the weight today. And oh God, we drop the water pots on today, oh God. And we come, Father God, we draw nearer to thee, oh God, nearer, oh Lord, nearer to thee, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And we bind up the hand of Satan, all right now, off of the lives of my sisters, off of their lives, oh God. Heal the brokenhearted. Bind up the brokenhearted. Set the captives free. Open the eyes of the blind, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, heal the woman with the issue, oh God, that's been carrying that issue for so long, oh God. Dry the tears. Catch every tear in the bottle, oh God. Oh God, release your oil. Release your anointing on this radio broadcast. Release your anointing. Release your anointing today, oh God. Oh God, the balm of Gilead, let it flow from my voice over the heart of my sister, oh God, and let her be healed today, oh God. So, Lord, I just thank you for supernatural healing on this call today, God. Oh, God, I put a hedge of protection around my sisters, oh, God. Protect them from the pedophile of their children, oh, God, from the pedophile. Protect, oh, God, their ministries, oh, God, from the perverted mind, oh, God, of those who want to come and lurk in the shadows, oh, God. In the name of, give her strength. Give my sister power, oh, God, to stand up against the wiles of the enemy as she puts on the full armor of God. So, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you for this radio podcast. We thank you for what you've done already and what you're yet to do, oh God. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. We break every stronghold. We destroy every stronghold. We break every soul tie. We demolish every soul tie. Oh God, we restore virginity today, oh God. Oh God, for those who are looking to be pure and chaste in you, and we say, Father God, that the past is behind us, oh God, and we're walking forward into a new day. So, Lord, we just thank you, and we declare it done in the mouths of two or three witnesses. Lord, you said every word shall be established, oh God. So we establish it and touch and agree on today that it is done. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We plead the blood over every life, every woman, every man, every boy, every girl. We plead the blood over the kingdom of God, the blood of Jesus, the blood that cleanses, the blood that purges, the blood that heals, the blood that never loses its power. We plead the blood. The blood that restores, the blood that saves. We plead the blood of Jesus over every life on this line in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. My sisters, God bless you. I'll be here Tuesday at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you for being with me on today. I declare you delivered and set free. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you, my sisters. God bless you. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Know that you've been set free. Amen. You have been set free from the hands of the enemy. And I'll see you next time. Amen. If you need to talk, you can reach me at powerintheword1@yahoo.com. Or you can reach me on Facebook, Pastor Rebecca Simmons on Facebook. God bless you. Go in peace. God, remember that God wants it all. Amen.
That the voice cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him. Longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate. And longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. it all today. Serve me. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down. Let go of your idol. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for hearts that are desperate, longing for a child which will give him their own. Give it all. He wants it all. And he says, love me. Love me. Give him their all, give it all. He wants it all.